Hey, listen, listen, listen. He also forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. This calls for wisdom. If anyone has insight, let him calculate the number of the beast, for it is man's number. His number is 666. It is July the 24th, or well, the 21st. I'm looking here to my right, and we are we're going to jump into the issue of the mark. And I tell you, there are reasons why there is so much. Chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 19, chapter 20 in the book of Revelation. The most prophetic book in all of Scripture also contains four chapters that bring an emphasis to the mark of the beast. You can search it on the web. You can talk about it all you want. There is a thousand references that it seems like we are looking through. But it's coming. Plotted, planned. And with a massive heads up, God says, gives us great concern over the mark of the beast. And so if we're close to the great chaos, which would mean that the Antichrist is alive, he's not too far after the chaos, which means the second Theron beast is also alive. And it is he, the second beast, this Theron, that will cause. It's all coming out of his hands, the mark of the beast. On this July the 21st, 2010, I don't know if you check the satanic calendar. Not a whole lot of people would probably have today checked the satanic calendar. Well, I do. And I'm looking at July. One of the reasons is because we're still involved with a case that involves a girl that was slaughtered in the context of demon rebels, blood rituals and sexual relations with demons. And that's in the 1st of July. But right now, the 21st, starting yesterday, the 20th, all the way to the 27th of the month, sacrificial preparation, kidnapping, holding, and ceremonial preparation of a person for sacrifice. July the 27th, grand climax, sexual rituals and female sacrifice. There it is. In the underbelly of all of Europe, around the world, as rituals have grown, laced by supernatural secrecy and constantly done, millions have come forward. They're in the psych wards. They're in the counseling centers. They're going to the pastors. They're struggling. They're trying to make it through, but they contain the memories and the places. We've had some of them drive us to the ritual sites. We dug up bones. We brought them back. We've engaged individuals back in the woods. They had weapons. We did not. We had to step out. Listen, today it's pouring down rain. So many other things are going on. Enormous political engagements. The Russians, the whole issue with the spies and all the rest. I'm just kind of looking over all the different things. The conspiracy of the Romanian, the Romanian leader that was supposedly killed and died. Listen, the world is churning. It's churning. And in the mix of all of it, Jesus Christ says, "My peace I give unto you." Do I have concerns for the souls of many that are lost? Absolutely. Do I live as a man, as a husband, as a dad of a child? Yes. Going to go out to eat later on tonight, probably get ice cream, going to live life, and yet in the context of standing out there eating a banana pudding ice cream cone tonight, my mind will still be on the fact that across America, at a minimum in the last 40 years or so, 500 million satanic rituals. And I look at the satanic calendar today, and I see this entire week, all the preparation. You know, we're going to hear about people that have been abducted, taken. And, of course, the news only reports cases here and there, not all of them. What I've learned in the underground, and there are sub-personalities created in those raised among the covens that are called hunters. All they do is look for and spot vulnerability of abducting a child. I was in Pennsylvania. I was sitting in a room with an officer and another staff worker. Before me was a richly abused woman that had a listing of hundreds of sub-personalities. She said the secular psychologist out of Youngstown declared that she was healed and that she could get her children back from the child services because they had all been abused. And she wanted me to find out whether or not she had any personalities, cult loyal, sexual perpetrators on the inside of her. So I looked at the list and I just simply spoke a name. All of a sudden, popping up as a teenage male personality, asking what I want, what I'm doing. This teenage cult loyal personality raised among the covens. You know what his job was? He was to have a cattle prod. He was to train all the kids of the coven in all the sexual acts, all the things that they're supposed to do to serve the coven, to serve the people, to do the stuff. And if they didn't do it right, of course, they got shocked with the cattle prod. There was no remorse. There was no sense of guilt. It's what he was programmed, what he was trained, what he was birthed in dark powers to do. I finally said, as I looked down the chart, let me talk to Dark Star, another name of a personality deep down inside. And this individual said, no, you don't want to talk to that one. I said, no, I want to talk to Dark Star. They said, no, you will not want to talk to Dark Star. I said, I want to talk to Dark Star. At that moment, instantaneously, a switch of personalities. Dark Star popped up and clocked me right in the face. Now, this was a 6'6" woman. Probably 340 pounds or more. I don't fight women. I don't hit back. Before I could do anything, I got clocked on the other side of the face. The law officer and my staff member who were recording the entire session sat there, and they said they just simply wondered whether I would turn my cheek or not. Well, as a Dark Star attempted a third, you know, we finally had to just sit the person down on the couch and begin to deal with it. They're the ones that took us out there in Erie, Pennsylvania. No, not Erie. I'm sorry. Down a little further. Meadville. Showed us an old airport. Showed us signs and symbols of the rituals. Discussed in detail with one of the personalities about being a hunter. Up in Meadville. They took us all around, showed us the places, the ritual sites, all kinds of things, talked to a number of other personalities. But it was the most descriptive discussion of hunters. I ask the hunter created, trained, programmed, demonized personality, tell me what you do. Well, we take the van. We take the coven kids. Let's say we go to a park. We observe kids playing, and then we designate our kids to go to the, well, the loneliest or the kid that's by himself and play and play and play and play. And at a certain time, we will cue our kids that they would invite the other kid back to the van area for ice cream. And once they're back, We take them all and we leave. It burns my britches. It really does. I don't know how you feel about it. And if it raises inside of you kind of a righteous indignation that a child would be stolen by other kids already being abused and used and raised in a coven only to be taken back and to be held in preparation. Oh, they do preparation rituals. They do things ahead of time. But when grand climax would come, and especially if it's a girl, most likely no one will find a hair on her head ever again. In America, my friends, it's not the subject matter tonight, just simply, again, a heads up, alert, alert, alert. That's what Brett Favre says when he's standing behind the center, getting ready to go into action, and he sees that it looks like they're going to blitz, and so he'll yell, alert, 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 to alert his line. God calls all believers to be alert. We know the enemy's prowling. God tells us in Colossians 4:2, to be devoted to prayer, being watchful, Greek word means looking for the impending dangers. So in my prayers today and in your prayers today, if you really want to, on the one hand, you know, have the grace of God, the mission of God, the mercy of God, the love of God reach the world. On the other hand, it's spiritual warfare. On the other hand, there is a battle going on. I know that victims are going to listen tonight. And we're trying. There are those that are fighting for you. And there are victims that are healed enough that can come out now and tell more. Give the uncontested evidences. Release the video, the audio. It's time for even healed up, growing in the Lord victims to take their stand against the radical evil that took most of their life and continues, as in this week, taking the lives of many others. Listen, you have joined Shatter the Darkness, the radio network, during the week, Monday through Friday. If you looked at the Shatter the Darkness website, shatterthedarkness.net, and you're going to see Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way down, and it'll tell you the titles. The theme is different every week. This week, Dark Doctrines, The Agenda, A Mark, and The Image That Lives. We've been going through the book of Revelation. We've been going through the seals, the judgments. And because of the massive content of Revelation 12 and 13, we've been going over what God has given us a heads up about. Not only what will occur, but the realization that it is evolving even as I speak. Even as we lay our heads down tonight and go to bed, darkness operates, building the terrors that will lead to the day of chaos and lead to the day of the apocalypse, Anthropos Anamos. Well, it's the unveiling of the man of lawlessness. God gave content to Daniel 2,600 years ago. God gave content in the book of 2 Thessalonians, 1 John 2, and massively in the book of Revelation. So if you want to go beyond all of the counterfeit prophetic elements that are out there and the want-to-be prophetic elements that are out there, if you want to go beyond that instead of being distracted, then again, come back. Let's take a look at what is very, very clear from the Spirit of God. Revelation 13, we've been going over in the first part, a beast, a theron, a hybrid. This is the fallen cherub in human skin, Homo Satanus. In the middle of the chapter is a calling for the faithfulness and patience of the saints, because the second part of the chapter deals with a second beast. The first, coming out of the sea. The second, there's an ascendancy, ascending out of the earth. And as I've said all week, last week and this week, that if we are that close, even if it's 15 or 20 years away, they've already been born, they're already developing, and by this time, they are highly operative in the underground, pushing for the day of the great rebellion. Some call it the chaos, the anarchy, the all hell on earth, the concept of the red horse, an event that rips peace out of the earth and unleashes a hellish chaos such as the world's never seen. So, listen, in your day and in my day, if you're a believer in Christ, well, under the lordship of Jesus, we are here to, enjoy the Lord, be filled with the joy of the Lord. But we do not become selfish, culturally enculturated by the world system, believers that become, just absolutely ineffective. And it would be as if no one even knew that God lived in us, that Christ lived in us, that an irrevocable eternal hope dwelt within us, that God, the Holy Spirit, that unleashes the love and the beauty and the power of Christ, guides us and teaches us and leads us, whom we are to be clothed with in power. Listen, you'll hear me say at the end of this hour, when you understand the issue of the beast, the Antichrist, when you understand the issue of the false prophet, if that's what we want to call him, the second beast. Very little spoken about him, so we spent some days on that. Yesterday, we were digging into the fact that he orders the fact that a image, an icon of the Antichrist be made, and that men and women in a global scale would be forced to worship it. Now, towards the end, I got to the part where it talks about he made the image alive. It's the word for spirit. And it is my understanding that it's literally a living spirit. A powerful demonic presence is in and on. Whether it's a hologram, whether it's Project Bluebeam, whether it's a statue, whatever it is, it speaks, it's alive, and it's weaponized, and it kills those who will not give over to the beast. So, listen, do we want to say to the New Agers, hundreds of millions, welcome to the age of Aquarius? It's not what you think. It's not the age of freedom and an evolution of human consciousness and beauty and peace and spectacular harmonization. It's not. That's what you've been sold, but now reality will strike and tyranny, dictatorship, dark presence, control, as never before in human history, will be upon all. If you're a seeker, if you're a New Ager, if you're a psychic, if you are a remote viewer, you've got the precursors that may blind you to what really is coming. If you're a 2012er, and let me say again, we're going to spend an entire week on this. When you do go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll find where the archives are, and right below that, it'll be a mention of the coming messages. We're going to spend an entire week dealing with demonic, spirit-given prophecies from, ancient times. Literally, prophecies have been given back in the day of the Mayan, among their high days. And all of a sudden, these prophecies are being thrown out everywhere, and they will help shape human consciousness. They will help shape maybe even political action and military preparation. And I'll take a week to go over that, and that's coming up. Tonight it's God-given, the kind of prophecy that is not only infallible and accurate and detailed and all the way down to what people feel and even say. It is selective, though. Selective as the most important part of what needs to be shown. Well, it's being shown. So as we look at chapter 13, the second Theron, the beast, forces everyone, listen, this is a global issue. This means that this beast will have global impact. And did I say he's probably alive today, preparing, acting? I mean, he's involved in Revelation 16, in the mother of all satanic rituals that brings a planetary release beyond any scale in human history and the only cause behind Armageddon. There is no Armageddon without it. There is no Armageddon without the false prophet, the second beast. He's the one that now forces. Oh, small, great, rich, poor, free, slave. Get the mark. Get the mark. The Greek word is very simple. It means a branding. We have in the rest of the New Testament, as believers in Christ, we've been marked by God the Holy Spirit upon believing in Christ. We've been sealed, marked. And it's the idea of a sense of ownership. The mark, the seal, is the Holy Spirit. And we are identified. Of course our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Of course, but there is a recognition. If you're born of the Spirit of God, not only have you been forgiven, washed, justified, do you know the living Christ? Yes, then the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And he is the mark. He is the seal. He is the one that guarantees what is to come, the ultimate homo glorious, the glorification, the real new coming race. Oh, we'll do a week on that. But in the future, could it be 5 years away? Could it be 10? I don't know. But the second beast will be here. We've gone over the fact that he has the authority, he looks like a lamb, he speaks like a dragon, he does and performs miraculous things. I've said before, he's the most supernatural, demonstrative individual. He'll be known for supernatural feats, great powers, calling fire down out of the sky to the earth. He will mesmerize billions. And he will set into motion an act of control, the mark, either on the right hand or on the forehead. On the forehead, if you go back to the Old Testament, there's some symbolization, the idea of servanthood on the right hand. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, there's where God is telling believers, you know, about the word of God and to have it and to know it and to have it on your, you know, and so there's an idea of recognition. Devotion. So the mark out of all of biblical revelation, here in the book of Revelation, the word is used the most. Chapter 13, 14, 19, 20. Chapter 14. I mean, have you looked at the revelation there? A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." All by spiritual force that brings the idea, that brings the ideology, that brings the human consensus that is a part of the precursors of the evolution of human consciousness. Babylon is rising. The declaration here, it's also going to fall. What will be seen as the most spiritual age of humanity, or supposed to be, the age of Aquarius. It's going to be the darkest, the filthiest. Third angel followed them, the first two, and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast, listen to the warning. I'm going to tell you that God gives chapter 13, 14, 19, and 20. And this is massive communication in verse 9 of chapter 14. The communication, now this has not yet happened. This is in the future. When the mark, the image is here, in the future, the image will be there of the beast. The living image that speaks and kills. And then with that comes the mark, both administrated by the second beast. And now God is showing the level of tyranny, the level of control, the level of, the dark side's fierce, forced, and controlled servanthood. And so the angel of God says, if anyone worships the beast and the image, and his image, and receives the mark, his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. You'll be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment rises forever and ever. Listen now, there is no rest, day or night, for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Verse 12 is connected. It says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the saints who obey God's commands and remain faithful to Jesus. In this context of tyrannical control, the clarifying of those who are on the Antichrist's side and those who are not. Part of the issue of this level of control is evidence that not everyone is under the control by that time. That there are believers worldwide. Because in verse 12, the call for believers to have patient endurance and a declaration from God, here's what it says. Then I heard a voice. Notice where it comes from. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. What does that tell you? That under the tyrannical control, under the devices of the image and of the mark, either you worship the image and take the mark or you die. Either you worship the image of the beast, take the mark, the name of the beast, which demonstrates your absolute loyalty and commitment to that side. Your fate is sealed eternally. The massive warning is given now before it actually occurs. In the context of it, believers ought to be warned. The need for patient endurance. And the declaration, the prophetic declaration. Listen to the words. I mean, get these. Right. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. So out there in the future, maybe 5 years away, maybe longer, I don't know. When the image is here, when the mark is here, when the absolute clarifying of which side of the fence people are on, the choices seal your eternal destiny. And at that time in history, those who are not going to worship the mark or worship the image of the beast and take the mark of the beast, well, they are to be put to death. You know, if it really is 5 years away or 8 years away, most of you listening will be here. How strong are you in Christ? How sold out are you to the God of heaven, the God of redemption, the God of the cross, the Savior whose blood was shed? How sold out? So in the future, when those who will not worship the image or take the mark are killed, I mean, can you think back during the days of Rome when the emperors would bring in the believers? What about Polycarp, who was brought in and told that all he needs to do is take the pinch of incense, you know, throw it in the fire and declare that Caesar is Lord, God, that he's the divine one, and surrender to the deification of the Roman Empire and of the Roman emperor. Polycarp, being in a time of massive persecution of human beings that simply believed in the living Christ and declared Jesus is Lord. Well, it's clear that he spoke out boldly that he had known and served the Lord Christ for 86 years. How then could I deny my only sovereign and Lord? Light the fires, they said, and they did. And the fires went out. Light the fires, they cried, and they lit them again. But the fires went out. Polycarp tied, the wood chucked all around, the citizenry of Rome all observing, the emperor who thought in his own demented, self-exalting way that he was divine, watching. As a human being is about to be lit on fire, would not take incense, throw it into the fire, and declare the idiot a God-man, knowing all the while he will burn. Jesus Christ. Jesu Christu, Yahweh Adonai. You see, when Polycarp gave his testimony before the demented, now in hell forever, Caesar, when that declaration went out everywhere, it had impact on the executioners. It had impact on the citizenry. It had impact on the other brothers and sisters in Christ. It has impact almost 2,000 years later, as we read in Fox's Book of Martyr, or By Their Blood, reading Christian history, reading the stories, executioners that eventually repented and turned to Christ, Christians who died in the most horrific ways during those persecutions would bless and forgive the executioners in advance. Do you remember as we went through Revelation 12? They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. You're going to die someday. And you know what? Who wants to live in a physical body that's still in decay because of sin? The wages of sin is death. In dying, our physical bodies with the death code is dying. Oh, there's clearly something now affecting the outcome of our physical body, Jesus said, and only Jesus could say, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Lazarus, come forth. See, that's the spirit. That's the presence. That's the truth that was inside of Polycarp. When he defied the emperor and the people and his own comfort. And there the third time they lit the fires and he burned. Like Stephen in the book of Acts, absent from the body, instantly present with the Lord, he has been there. We shall see Polycarp face to face someday. So when you read the words, in the midst of hellish, tyrannical, Satan-manifested control of the world, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. You see, if you die in the Lord, that's different. You can go back to 1 Thessalonians 4 and read chapter 4 and 5. There's a world that has no hope. I was a pastor for 30 years, four churches. I've done many funerals. I have been in the hospitals there next to people who were dying and did die. I've watched as believers died. I've watched as those who rejected and said no died. I've seen the difference. I've stood before caskets and proclaimed a message as all the rest observed and looked at a dead body in a casket. They're gone. They're out of there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Hey, there is. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be caught up. There is a glorification, homo glorious. It's an instantaneous thing. It's the Greek word atom, where we get atom. It's on a atomic level of an exertion of the power and the presence of God that the mortal, in less than a blink of an eye, a flash, go from mortality to indestructible, glorious immortality. It's what Jesus died for. And so, it's not hard to understand that Polycarp would cry out, Jesus Christ is Lord, and not give in. That day, Polycarp blessed all the dead who die in the Lord from now. Now, in the future, when the forcing of choice, well, this is the declaration. In the future, when believers are hunted down, when believers are thrown in front of the crowds, when believers are pushed to make a choice for the Antichrist, but refuse and are killed. Verse 13 goes on to say, listen to all of the revelation. This is prophetic revelation of the actual events for those dying in the Lord. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for the deeds will follow them. The mark of the beast is a big issue. The mark of the beast is a plotted and planned thing. On the satanic side, it will be an item of outing those who are not with him and solidifying those who are. The precursors lead to blanketing of more and more and more. Let's ask the question. If the Antichrist is so great, why doesn't everybody just cling to him? He needs the false prophet to come with signs, wonders, and counterfeit things to push people to the Antichrist. The Antichrist dies and rises from the dead in a counterfeit, you know, he's counterfeit Savior, counterfeit resurrection, counterfeit everything. He's in power, but not everybody's buying it. Not all of the hearts are there. And so the image of the beast and the mark of the beast put out by the second beast are to solidify, to totally blacken spiritually every heart that has been pulled into the courts of the Antichrist, to the Luciferic globalism. So if you've got the precursors, New Age Spiritism, you know, psychic non-human enhancements, remote viewer non-human enhancements from the Akashic Records, if you've got the precursors from secret societies and the Masonic lodges, if you've got the precursors, if you don't snap out of it the layers of dark power masqueraded as light at first, will darken your conscience, grip your heart, and pull you closer to the flames of hell itself. Chapter 19, verse 20, prophetic revelation, God says the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who had performed the miraculous signs. You know, there's destiny. God gives what it is the enemy and the dark side is going to do. And it is global and it is massive. It involves billions dying. It involves the issue of eternal loss. But in Revelation 19:19, Armageddon doesn't stand. All the super soldiers and all the politicians and all those that gave over, all those who've taken the mark, all those who worship the image. Look what it says. And I speak to the Luciferian, to the Satanist, to the subpersonality that is committed to the dark side, to those that think that they are the troops of Antichrist. Here's a picture painted by God of your future, unless you get out now. Chapter 19, verse 20, most undergrounders have never read, most secret society people and those committed to the Luciferic cause, they don't know it. But the beast, your Antichrist, your world leader, your Mahdi, your Maitreya, whatever you want to call him, well, he's going to be captured, gripped. And with him, the false prophet, the second beast, who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. With these signs, he had diluted those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them. Here's the future. This is the day of the visible return of Christ. This is the day of the last stand of the Luciferic cause. This is the day of Armageddon. May all the soldiers, weapons developers, the DODers and the, NSAers and the NASA workers and the, those working on planetary defense weapon systems, DARPA and all the rest that are working on super soldiers, those that are looking for non-human enhancements, 1st Earth Battalion, creating supernaturally charged super soldiers, let it be known that the actual end run of the super soldier is found in verse 20, specifically verse 21. Soldier, we love you. God loves you. Make sure you know the living Christ indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, and make your resolve that there is no king, there is no one that you serve more, that you love more, that you walk with more. All believers need to take in turn Revelation 12:11. We need to pin it to our conscience. those that obey God's command, those that hold to the testimony of Jesus, those that overcome the dragon by the blood of the Lamb. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Can I give you a homework assignment? Can I ask if you would take a few moments sometime, even now, if you're able, go to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Look at the sin-Satan connection to the concept of death and who it is that has become the hero. Did you read it? Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared. God shared in our humanity. He came to taste death. He came to conquer death. Somebody's written a book years ago called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. Oz Guinness, in a great book called The Dust of Death. You got to get it. The Dust of Death. He writes in there about the resurrection of Christ, that it blasts apart the finality of death. The resurrection, what happened at the cross, salvation, blasts apart the finality of death. Did you know, 1 Corinthians 15, death is considered an abnormality, an intrusion, and an enemy of God. Did you know that? Did you know the cross? See, New Agers don't know this. Remote viewers and psychics and 2012ers don't know this. They're wrapped up in the preoccupying counterfeit spirituality that will drag them onto a bloody field. Verse 21, Revelation 19, the rest of them, including all the soldiers that took the mark, worshipped the image, they were killed with a sword. They were literally destroyed, conquered in the second coming of Jesus. Please understand, by that time in future history, there is no resolve to turn around. When they stand there on the field in fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2, against the Lord, against the Lord's Christ, the goal, kill God. The goal, destroy Christ in his descent. The goal, aim your weapons into the sky and blast Christ out of existence. But it doesn't occur. The finite never wins. The finite evil, again and finally and forever, loses. The Prince of Peace returns. In chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. It's in the future, my friends. And I saw the souls, maybe you and I. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received the mark on their foreheads or on their hands. They came to life, first resurrection, glorification, indestructible immortality. They came to life and reigned with Christ. Hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. May the Spirit of God fall on all believers and seal us with the assurance. 1 John 5, I write to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know that you have eternal life. Isn't that what it's all about? All of us are going to die. Listen, all of us are going to die. If the Lord Jesus didn't come for, 50 years from now, I will have been dead, buried, and I would have gone to be with the Lord. Maybe 50 years from now, and I'm not going to be 100 and some years old. I don't believe I will. I believe I'll be out of here, absent from the body, present with the Lord. If the Lord didn't come for 50 years, I imagine I'll be up there waiting to come down. would imagine maybe there'd be some level of all these MP3s out there that would still be speaking. By the way, welcome to, again, an amazing thing occurred when I did the specific thing, I think, on Monday night, the false prophet, when we went into, we went over the false prophet in detail. So I decided to put it up on the preemption broadcast, the other broadcast that we do, and I was amazed. Normally, just on that little site, there's about 500 per day that will download and listen, which I'm, you know, amazed. And again, around the world, which includes the Russians and the Chinese and Europe and America and all around. So I took one of these live sessions because I knew I would and I felt led to, and I put it out there. And in one day, 2,500 listened, and now we're on 2,000 more, and not counting the archives and the others. And so I'm amazed that there has been a real broad reception, a gobbling up of the information about the false prophet. And this is all about the false prophet, the second Theron beast. He's the one that forces the world to make the image and moves them to worship it because he puts a life spirit in it. And it speaks, and if you don't do what it wants, it kills. And if that wasn't enough, a mark, a branding, right hand or forehead. I think it's beyond a chip. There's going to be, this is about loyalty. This is about servanthood. This is about who you're sold out to. This is about who you choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The mark is a branding that seals the choice. No one comes back from it. No one gets out of it. Let me go over some things quickly here in the last few minutes. Why is Revelation 13 on the issue of the mark so important? Well, because it's mentioned in 14 and mentioned in 19 and mentioned in chapter 20. Because there is a serious, serious, God-given, massive warning in advance. Number one, it is revealed and now part of living prophetic scripture. It is a major communication. Number two, it is definitely coming. 666. It is a brand, a stamp, and an identification issue. Number three, it is planned and plotted by the dark side, whether you consider it a chip or a sigil. That's right, a sigil. You know what a sigil is? It could be made in occultic magic. Let me just give the simplicity of it. It's kind of looking like a symbol, but it's sometimes made out of letters. It could be magical. It could be something that people want to be. But in the older days, it was considered the name of a spirit, that the spirit would be attached to the sigil. And the sigil is the symbol or the name of the spirit. You see, the mark is the mark of the beast. It is his name. It is his name. I've said, in my personal opinion, it will be inseparable from demonic acquisition to take the branding in this dark sense. It's one thing to see a cow out there get one of those pokers, you know, stuck on its hind end where it identifies it and marks it for a certain rancher. Well, that's what the word here is really refers to, a branding. But you got to understand, it is a satanic brand. It is a demonic. It is directly out of the hands of the false prophet, the second Theron. I think it's like a sigil. In that, it would include a demonic acquisition, attachment. Oh, there, listen, in underground circles, there are tattoos, as in the old days, as in the days of Moloch and, you know, in the Old Testament. It's what that idea of a marking of your skin. It's what we see with the Mayans and many others, where the marking is the name of a demon or a dedication to a demon. Instead of an object, a devoted thing, well, the marking on the skin is a declaration then of a demonic presence, attachment of a person's commitment to that demon god. To take the mark is to acquire demonic presence, I believe. And a declaration of servitude to that side, which means that a person has joined the most radical, horrific, filthy, ugly evil in all of human history. Off the backs of human sacrifice, off the backs of the slaughter of humanity, off the backs of the destruction of the earth, off the backs of the blood of Christ on the cross. That's why Christ came, to destroy. Number four, it is a mark which reveals the tyrannical control of that new day of Aquarius, or whatever you want to call it. It's forced worship, forced servanthood, sealed forever. Number five, it is a mark and event that will be known. Nobody's going to be tricked into it. You're not going to just get a card and put it in your pocket. It is a globally issued issue. It involves actually a brand on the hand or the forehead. I believe it's clearly seeable, but please understand that given and coming from the dark side, it will involve the concept of sigil. Demonic acquisition, sealing their fate. Number six, it involves the controls over money and food and a person's soul. You can't buy, you can't get food, right? It eliminates you. It's an economic, it's a hunger, a food issue. You can look at it again, the name of the beast, or listen, it's the number of his name. People made a lot out of it trying to calculate. It's 666. Well, we're out of time. We're at the end of the hour. And once again, I have more to say on this. We'll follow up tomorrow. Remember us in prayer. Please remember us in support. Go to shatterthedarkness.net. Be blessed in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you don't know him, come to Christ tonight. This is Russ Dizdar. Hey, God bless you.